Good morning, church. How are you all this week? Good. Good. So, I don't know. Julie texted me at, 9 o'clock on Friday morning, and I think she was just giving me a cordial text to say, you know, you got anything? Ha ha. I would like to have a camera here when I text her back the passages and the title, because I imagine she probably fell out of her chair. This one was pretty easy to come with a title. Now the passages, and God's working on me with those. That's what he laid on me, and that's where we're going to go. You know, it's funny, sometimes you just say, okay, God, take me where you want me to go. And the main passage he led me to was Psalm, the first Psalm today. And I've read it 100 or 150 times this week, and I think, each time I read it, he pulls something different out. And that's kind of cool. So if any pastor, any guy, anybody that preaches ever tells you that they don't learn anything when they're writing messages, man, it's time for them to stop being a pastor. Because I guarantee I probably learned more this week with this message than you're going to get out of it. For those of you that don't know, the name of the title, Season of Change, pretty generic. But I got to thinking, and you know, we're all at different stages in our lives. You know, when we think of seasons, we think of, you know, winter, spring, summer, fall. Man, when I get thinking about this week, man, Chris and I are in an unfamiliar season in our lives. We are going to be empty nesters, and that's going to be weird. It's going to be good. But, you know, it comes down to just things like, Chris, I don't know how to cook for two people. We'll figure it out, because I can't take leftovers to work because I don't have any way to heat it up. So, you know, I said, and math is one of Chris's favorite things. I said, just make all the recipes smaller. It's, you know, if we make it for six, now divide it by three and you're doing it for two. And we're still going to have casseroles like this. So if anybody needs supper anytime, stop by our house, 6:30, 7 o'clock. I guarantee we'll have enough food. It's funny. Shelby is going to rent a house. Morgan, we moved her back yesterday, back to Bluffton University for her second year. And that went pretty painlessly, I guess. I guess the second year is easier than the first year. But man, does she have a lot of stuff. She almost needs a room. Her room with her roommate, which her roommate's Julianne Kincaid, which is going to be really cool for them. But she almost needs all her storage space that she has half of. And then she needs a whole other room with the same amount of storage space for all her junk. Morgan, are you never coming home? So, season of change. By the way, Lindsay and Skylar just bought a house. So they are moving as well, and Shelby's moving, and the one thing that's going to stay the same is Dad is still going to get stuck doing chores. I've talked up here about our partnership in the sheep business. Man, it just keeps getting better. Because that was my first question to Shelby. Okay, no, I had two questions. Your dog is moving with you, correct? She has a lab puppy that's 5 months old, and she is out of control. Plus, she's big enough that she would eat all our leftovers before we had supper because she's up on the countertop. She has no rules. She'll have to establish some. But that's part of the change Shelby has to deal with. Part of the change Lindsay's going to have to deal with is she's not in Ashland anymore. She's in Mount Vernon, Knox County. And she's going to be out in the middle of nowhere, which is cool. That's the only way I want to live. But it's going to be an adjustment from living in downtown Ashland. And then Morgan's going to have to get back on the schedule. I mean, Morgan worked a lot this summer, but she's going to have to be back on a routine, a schedule. So that's a change going on in our lives this week. I challenge you, as I was thinking about this, guys, if you got little ones at home, don't waste a minute. Don't waste a minute. Because I know you may think, oh, they're going into kindergarten. I can't wait till they get to junior high. How's that work, Robin Shannon? Hate it, because you can see the end now, Jesse and Brett. You can see the end now. It goes fast, people. And I think we get so accustomed. Does anybody else like change? Just me? Huh? Depends. Well, I'm here to tell you my household does not like change. Man, if it could stay the same as it was 20 years ago, my wife would be in heaven. I don't know how she's a teacher, because every year you get different kids. You get different sets of deals, but she does a great job. We all adjust to our environment. And I think ever since this COVID year, I think change is just the way of life now. Guys, there's some things that should not change. We're going to get into it. Before I go any further, I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, everything in this world is changing, and everything's changing fast and quick. And Lord, we know that you are our constant. We know that no matter what life throws at us, our constant is that you are there, and you want that relationship with us, Lord, and we thank you and we love you for that. Lord, just take me out of the equation, shut my mind down, and just let my tongue say what you want and what needs to be said here today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to go to Psalms chapter 1. We're going to start there, and we'll probably end there as well. I did mark everything today. So, Psalms chapter 1, it starts like this. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That is the person like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, they prosper. Not so with the wicked. They are like the chaff the winds blow away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And I read this in a couple different translations this week, and I wish I'd have brought my other Bible, because it's like the dumb map version, and it is just plain. And it said, at one point it said, guys, if you're not studying every single day, if you don't get in this word every single day, you're like these wicked, you're going to be blown all over. So as we're going through this change, and as we look at our world today, what do we see? Man, we're turning into a gross, disgusting place. You know, I don't watch the news very often, but Knox County, we had some deputies shot a person or two this week, maybe Friday, fatally shot them. had a murder in Marion this week. We had a shooting in Chesterville this week. I mean, that just stuff, it's coming. It's coming. You know, we used to think, oh, it's in Columbus or it's in Cleveland. It's never coming to Morrow County, right? It's here. It's here. And I contend the time for the Lord to come again is drawing closer, because everything is enveloping us and everything is coming our way now. Because you got to make sure you're with that constant. You got to make sure that you're with the one who saved you on that cross and then rose again to give you that hope of eternal life. It's a pretty cool promise, the pretty cool God we serve. But as we dig back into this passage, man, you want to be in verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take. I'm going to give you Matt's version of that. Guys, if you're in school still, take a stand. If you're in your workplace, take a stand. If you're in your home, take a stand. Stand on the cross. Because if you don't stand on the cross, and you don't stand on this Bible, not literally, you're going to falter. And we all do it. I do it. I'm an idiot. Okay? There's days at work when I just want to throw my hands up and say, you know what, God, it's easier if I'm just a behind everybody. Then he hits me in the back and says, Matt, you can't do that. You're one of my chosen. Do we understand that? God chose us. Me, Matt, Doug, Skyler, he chose us all for that gift. So walk and do not walk in step with the wicked, or stand the way that sinners take. Or this is a big one at our house. Or sit in the company of mockers, because we're a bunch of mockers. When we're around the Sunday dinner table, and it's horrible to say this, we usually end up making fun of Chris pretty hard. And it's all in good fun, but you know, then I think, gosh, it's all in good fun we make fun of Chris, but when we make fun of Morgan, it turns ugly. When we make fun of Lindsay, she gets mad. Really, I'm the only one that takes it well. I kid. Huh. But guys, that's where we're at. We need to understand, when we mock somebody, what does that do to them? We saw the example of what it does when Jesus was mocked, when he was on his way to be crucified. You know, they put a purple robe on him, they put a crown of thorns on him, they beat him half to death. They spit on him, they threw rocks at him, they threw whatever at him. Our God and Savior knows what it feels like to be mocked. And this was written. You don't think God's plan is perfect? Because this is an example of what Jesus went through. So, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. What does that mean? Are you putting this in here and in here? Guys, it's pretty plain. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Pretty simple, right? We make it hard. We make it hard. But don't we want to be like verse 3? That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. Now, evidently, I've never met a sinless person, because I've never seen whatever somebody does prosper. Somebody always stumbles, right? Why do we stumble? Because we get away from the law of the Lord. And I'm not going to say I don't care about the outside laws. God put those there for a reason. He had somebody put them there. I'm telling you, the only laws that really matter to me are these ones right here. Because then we're not going to weigh back and forth. We're not going to one day be this great person and the next day be a bozo. Okay? Stay in the Word. Let's go on. Genesis 8. Genesis chapter 8. We're going to surf a little bit today. Now, this is after, Genesis 8 is after the flood. We all know the story. Noah built an ark during a drought. And he got ridiculed and he got just made fun of and mocked. Okay? Then it rained for 40 days. Now, we had a rain yesterday, last night, and the lightning and all that. I looked out at one point, and I got a rain barrel. And I looked out at one point, and I got water gushing out of my rain barrel. Right? Because it's so full. Mainly because we don't use it like we probably should every day. But, and I thought, you know, that's the way the earth was. There was nowhere else for the water to go during this flood. So it just rose. That is the power of our God. Okay? Everything was gone. Everything. Human, animal, tree, plant, fish. Not fish, probably. But let's go. Let's read the passage. I'm going to start in 20. This is after Noah comes off the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of the humans. Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done." This is a big verse here, 22. "As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Guys, that's our promise from our God. He's never going to send another flood. He's never going to destroy the earth. And as long as the earth endures, He will bring day and night, spring and fall, winter and harvest. He sets up the seasons. And you know, yes, we can look at that and say, oh yeah, God's always going to take care of all seasons. I think God wants us to read deeper, and he says, hey, your life's going to go on. Your life is going to go on, good and bad. Okay, Skylar Farms, so I can't talk intelligently about it, but I can kind of gather. There are times when you have a horrible, horrible planting season. Right? And what happens when that happens? Well, you hope that it dries up a little bit where you can get stuff planted, right? You hope you don't get it all planted, and then it gets, you know, this tall, and then it just gets nasty. Because then you lose it. You want it to take root so that it can grow through some of the droughts and whatever we have. But if your plant isn't great, what is your harvest? Not great, probably. And I don't know, bushels per acre, all that stuff. That's for somebody a lot smarter than me. But, guys, I want you to think of that as a church here. We've planted a lot of seeds throughout the community, right? But sometimes I think we plant those seeds and then we kind of walk away from them. This dude works a full-time job and then he goes and sprays and fertilizers, and Dwayne does the same thing. Fertilize. You got to take care of the plants you plant. So as a church, the seeds we have thrown out there, now we've got to go back and we've got to take care of them. Okay? It's part of the season of change. We can't expect a seedling to be a mature plant. We can't expect our young people to be mature Christians. We have to water, we have to weed, we have to do all that stuff. Okay? Understand, we don't do any of it without Him. But we've got to be better as a church. I've got to be better as a leader of cultivating and weeding and watering and pouring into people. We've got to do a better job as a church of pouring into people in our community. Because we're never going to get the harvest we want. At the end of the day, what does our harvest look like? Man, when those clouds open, Jesus comes again, I want everybody in this community to go to heaven. Right? That's our goal. That's our harvest goal. It's not 200 bushels an acre. It's, you know, 50,000 people per county. That's, I don't know, whatever the number is. That's what we want. Okay? But in order to get there, we've got to do some of God's work here. We do a lot of good things. We've got to do a lot of good things. I just want to make sure we're doing them the right reason. It's not so we can get glory. Guys, if you're here today at church because you want somebody to say how good of a Christian you are, you're here for the wrong reason. If you're here today at church because you want to see the day when that kingdom comes and every person in Morrow County goes to live eternally with our Lord and our Savior, or every person in this world those who live with our Lord and Savior, we know that's not going to happen. But guys, we want as big a harvest for Jesus as we can have. We've got to do some work. We've got to do some work. Let's go to James. And all these passages are going to kind of sound redundant. That's a purpose. Of course, I lost my page. You got it pulled up, Alan? Huh?
Yeah.
James 1, 17-19. I love this passage right here. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If you take nothing out of this, take James 1:19 and put it in your heart. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to every person here. Everyone, it doesn't say Matt, it says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Most of the times, we are quick to speak, quick to become angry, and eternally slow to listen. Think about a discussion you've had or an argument you've had. What happens? Man, that's a great verse. I mean, that's a great verse. Every disagreement you've ever had, if you follow that verse, it's not much of a disagreement. Because you listen to what the other person is trying to say first. My opinion is not the most important. And I'm not going to get mad if you don't listen to me. It's hard. It's hard. That is a verse that you put on your heart, I guarantee your life's going to be better. That's the way our God is every single day. Because you don't think the stupid stuff I do, God can just erase me from this earth and not think. I mean, right? He can do it. I can be gone tomorrow. If he was like me, and he was quick to anger and quick to speak. But what? Our God is slow to listen, or quick to listen. He speaks to me. But you know the key is, he doesn't get angry when I don't listen back. He may get angry, but he doesn't take it out on me. Because he has grace. Okay? Our God never changes. If we will live our lives by that verse right there, I guarantee you this world's going to be a better place. Because we don't live our lives that way right now. A lot of us, including me. Another verse is Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. Okay? Let's flip over John. That one's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, God's got time for everything in our lives. Okay? Nothing is going to get skipped over. God knows every situation you have, whether you're talking about it or not. And there's time for him to deal with everything we have. I've preached on before, his burden is not too heavy. You think about all the junk we pile on him. But guys, think about all the junk we piled on him while he was hanging on that cross. We drove the nails in him. We beat him. We put the crown of thorns on him. We drove nails into his feet. We stuck him in the side with a spear. Guys, that wasn't the Romans doing that. That was you and I doing that to him. And he loves us anyway. John 16. Yeah, I better hurry. I'm not going to hurry, though, because you know what? If there's words that one person needs to hear, it's important that we take our time and get through it. John 16, verse 33. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And you know, these guys were with him and saw all the miracles and saw all this stuff. And I mean, if you ever had free time, read John 16. It tells you a lot about some of the problems you're going to experience in life, right? But I just wanted to focus on 33 because he doesn't change. Our seasons change. God does not change. Verse 33 says, I have told you all of these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Guys, we win. We win because of our relationship with Jesus. Okay, it's important we remember God doesn't change, and He does win. Let's go back to Psalms one more time. It's a repeat of what we already read, but it's just one verse. Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. We've already talked about that. But I want you to think about a tree that produces fruit when it's supposed to, but its leaves never wither. Right, I have a couple maple trees. I've got a sweet gum tree, and I've got a oak tree in my yard. Okay, and every winter we lose every leaf off of there. The pin oak kind of keeps its leaves till really really late. But you know that tree never dies. That tree just grows, and it grows an inch or two a year. It's frustrating to me. Okay? Because this summer, I mean, I trimmed the bottom of that tree so I don't get hit in the face with when I'm mowing. I need that tree to grow because I need shade on my house. Okay? And I probably picked the two slowest growing trees in the world. Put out in front. I have a King Crimson Maple and a Pin Oak. And I don't think either one of them grow very fast. But that's okay. They're pretty. But God wants us to be like that tree by the riverside, or the creekside. Think about that. Think about how God's analogy is. He wants us to be by the creekside. Anybody live by a creek? Like in their backyard? Have a creek through their backyard? I mean, the best definition of that I can see is when we went to Tennessee this summer, we stopped at this campground to get some pictures taken. And this creek or stream or river or whatever you want to call it was the coolest thing I've ever seen because it had rocks in the water, the way it just trickled over them, and it was pretty and it sounded cool. That's what God wants us to be in our lives. He wants us to be right there by the creek and be deep rooted, and so that we're producing fruit all the time. Guys, sometimes we don't produce fruit. When we don't produce fruit, what needs to happen? What do we do to a fruit tree when it doesn't produce fruit? We have to prune. Right? And sometimes that's painful. That's painful. But that's what I had to do with those trees because I had to prune them so I wasn't getting knocked in the head. I'm too stupid to slow down. And I don't want to use a push mower either, so I'm on my zero turn. Right? But we have to prune. And sometimes that hurts. But what happens then after we get pruned by Jesus is, man, we start producing fruit again. And that's really cool. That's really cool. We want you to produce fruit. Last passage we're going to use today, then I'll wrap up. It's going to be 1 John chapter 2. It's 24 and 25. But I'm going to start in 20. And the title here of my little, this part of the passage is, actually I'm going to start in 18. It's warning against denying the Son. Warnings against denying the Son. Verse 18, dear children, this is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. What is the lie? Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And then 24 and 25. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. But as this anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. That's a lot. That's a lot. Guys, there are a lot of antichrists in this world. I mean, I can name a few right here. I mean, money, sex, politics, sometimes family. I hate that one. Our job is to remain true to what we've been told since we were knee-high. Guys, if you're fortunate enough to grow up in a church, you know the story. You know the truth. If you're hearing that for the first time today, man, come see one of us after church. We'd love to talk more with you. Because if we can keep God's teachings and God's plan in our heart and in our mind, and not succumb to all the crap outside. It said right here, we're promised eternal life. And it's eternal life. We don't hurt. We don't have problems. Guys, it's eternal life with our Lord and Savior. In heaven. Anybody not want to go? Okay? Our job now is to do God's work here. Do God's work here. And then we get to spend eternity with Him in heaven. Our God never changes. Whatever season of life or season change you're going through right now, your God is still the same. Same as He was 2,000 years ago, same as He'll be 2,000 years from now. He never changes. Do we understand that? He never changes. Get into this. Get into the Word. Man, plant it in your heart, plant it in your mind, because then you know what comes out of your mouth? This, instead of the junk we say now. And I'm bad about that, man. I sometimes run my mouth too quick. And I got a situation coming tomorrow that I'm probably going to run my mouth too quick. I'm going to think hard about it. But I'm going to ask you as a church to pray for Morgan right now as the next day or so, because long story short, she took a summer class this summer, anatomy and physiology one, and now all of a sudden the nursing program where she's going isn't wanting to accept that A&P one unless she takes A&P two. She already took A&P two through Bluffton. It's just a mess. Her advisor at Bluffton is working on it. Our prayer is that she just gets it handled, because if Dad has to call and take care of it, Bluffton's going to hear from me. Because she took her classes she needed to get. She got a 92% in A&P one, so there's no way you're not counting it. So that's where we're at. And we found this out Friday. Classes start tomorrow. The other part that irritates. So I'm going to take James 1:19, and I'm going to place that in my heart, and I'm going to hope that it works tomorrow, because, man, I can make that a whole lot worse for her. I don't want to do that. But our God never changes, even when we do, even when times around us change. And, guys, times around us are still changing. They're changing faster and faster every day. You know, our government's a hot mess. Our society's a hot mess. We're looking for answers in places we should not be looking for. We got to get out there, people. We got to take this out there. We got to take that out there. We got to let everybody know. And I think we sang a song today. I'm going to let everybody. Right, didn't we? About the power of Jesus, or did we not sing that one today? We did, didn't we? Go and tell everybody. I'm terrible with music, but anyway, if you have prayer concerns, if you want to begin your relationship today with our Lord and Savior, if you want to know where you stand with your God, today is your day. Do not wait. If God's pulling you to come out of that chair and come up here today, obey and do it. You will feel nothing, that not a better feeling will you ever feel than the day you turn your life over to your Lord and Savior and start that relationship with Him. Because He's constant and He never changes and you know where you stand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you and I thank you that you are the one constant in our life, and you are the one that never changes, and the one that always loves us, even when we don't deserve to be loved. Lord, we understand that we're sinners. We understand we don't deserve anything you give us. But we also know that your love and your grace is so great. And we love you for that, and we praise you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. So the elders will be here. The praise band is going to do a song. And man, if you're feeling like today's your day, if something's being tugged at you, don't ignore it. Don't fight it.